بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We are reading the Aqaid concerning Qiyamah and the signs of Qiyamah. We discussed the minor and then we are busy with the major signs of Qiyamah. From amongst the major signs of Qiyamah, we have read about the advent of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu, the appearance of Dajjal, and the descent of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. We continue the fourth major sign of Qiyamah, the appearance of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Close to Qiyamah, these two groups will emerge and wreak great havoc and turmoil on earth. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will go away to the mountains and pray to Allah Ta'ala for their destruction. Allah Ta'ala will finally eliminate them by a natural disaster. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala will create birds with long necks that will devour their corpses and throw their remains into the sea. There will be a great flood thereafter, which will cleanse the earth of the smell and disease that will result from the destruction of this tribe. After their destruction, there will be great prosperity on earth. This prosperity will remain for 7 years. Thereafter, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will die a physical death after accomplishing his mission. He will be buried in a grave next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In his lifetime, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will appoint his successor, a man named Jahjah from Yemen, from the tribe of Qahtan. He will rule with great justice and piety. After him, several rulers will follow. Slowly, evil and corruption will once again set in. Among the signs of this time is that a house in the west and east will sink into the earth. The first major sign of Qiyamah is the Dukhan, which will be explained now. At this time, the skies will be covered with a dense fog, which will envelop the earth for 40 days. All Muslims will develop colds as a result of the fog, and all disbelievers will lapse into unconsciousness. Some will recover after a day, while others after 2 or 3 days. The sixth major sign of Qiyamah is the rising of the sun in the west. Amongst the major signs of Qiyamah is the rising of the sun in the west. It is reported in a hadith that the night preceding the rising of the sun in the west will be prolonged. This extended duration of the night will instill restlessness and fear into humans and animals. Children will awaken crying, travelers will tire, and people will repent for their sins on seeing these signs. At the end of this long night, the sun will rise the following morning from the west. The rays of the sun will be very dull. It will more or less reach its meridian and then again set in the west. Thereafter, it will rise in the east as usual. When this event occurs, neither will acceptance of Iman or Tawbah be valid. The seventh major sign of Qiyamah is Dabbatul Ard, the beast from the earth. After the rising of the sun in the west, an earthquake will grip Mount Safa in Makkatul Mukarramah. The mountain will split open and a strange beast will emerge. This animal will speak to the people. With the asa, that is the staff of Musa alayhi salam, it will draw a glittering line on the forehead of the Muslims. And with the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, this animal will stamp the noses or necks of the disbelievers, due to which their faces will be blackened. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 16th para was recited. The first three rukus of the 16th para is the completion of Suratul Kahf, which is then followed by Surah Maryam and then Surah Taha. Towards the end of the 15th para, the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his meeting with Khadir alayhi salam was mentioned, and this continues into the first ruku of the 16th para. It was previously mentioned that in Suratul Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of three incidents One we had discussed yesterday, that was the incident of the people of the cave. And now this incident, according to the hadith, the circumstances which resulted in this meeting of Musa alayhi salam with Khadir alayhi salam was that once a person from the nation of Bani Israel, of Musa alayhi salam, who was a Bani Israel, they asked Musa alayhi salam that is there anyone more knowledgeable than you on the surface of the earth? He replied that there is none more knowledgeable than me. Although this answer was correct in the sense that being the Nabi of the time, he has the most knowledge compared to all other people. But because it was against the etiquette, it was preferred that he replied in this way that Allah Ta'ala knows best. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then reproached Musa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam and told him that there is a person who is more knowledgeable than him and you have to go and meet him. And that was Khadir Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Khadir alayhi salatu wa salam that type of knowledge which was not granted to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And that was what we call ilm takwini, the knowledge of takwin. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, the knowledge which he had been given as a Nabi was what we call ilm tashri'i, the knowledge of the laws of Shariat. But this type of knowledge, Musa alayhi salam, which Khadir alayhi salam was blessed with, Musa alayhi salam was unaware of that. Ilm takwini is that knowledge which is connected to the realm of the creation. In other words, the reality behind every thing which concerns the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is also related to the management of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we see happening around us is the external. What lies behind the veil of this external, that the wisdom and the reality and the truth which we are unaware of, that knowledge is called ilm takwini. And Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with that. So anyway, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is then told that go and meet that person who has that knowledge which you do not have. And the great detail in the last ruku of the 15th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the order to Musa alayhi salam that where he will meet Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, and the interesting incident about the sign where he will meet Khadir alayhi salam and recognize him, the incident of the fish, that fish take it along with you, and when it stirs back to life, that will be the place where the two seas will be meeting, and that is where you will find our banda Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, Musa alayhi salam meets Khadir alayhi salam and expresses his intention to stay in his company and to learn from that knowledge which he himself was not blessed with. Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam tells him that you will never be able to bear with me and make sabr with me. Khadir alayhi salam knew that my type of knowledge was completely different to what type of knowledge you possess. Therefore what I do, it will be objectionable. Therefore you will not be able to bear with me. But Musa alayhi salam says that inshallah, if Allah wills, you will find me to be exercising restraint and making sabr, and I will not disobey any of your commands. But Khadir alayhi salam then tells him, on condition that you don't ask me any questions to what I do, then you can stay with me till I myself does not give an explanation of whatever I do. Anyway, then the incidents are mentioned that they first board a ship, and the people of the ship recognize Khadir alayhi salam. They take them onto the ship without charging a fee. But Khadir alayhi salam, on boarding the ship, he damages the ship. And on that, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam takes objection that what are you doing? Are you trying to drown the people of the ship? What are you doing? Khadir alayhi salam reminds him, did I not tell you won't bear with me? You won't be able to make sabr with me. Musa alayhi salam then excuses himself and says that don't take me to task for what I had forgotten, and don't be harsh with me in this matter of mine. They carry on, they see an innocent young boy, Khadir alayhi salam kills that boy. Here Musa alayhi salam couldn't make sabr, an innocent soul, and without any crime or reason, you are now taking his life. It is a very grave thing which you have did. Again, Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam reminds him that didn't I tell you won't be able to make sabr with me? And then Musa alayhi salam himself says that if I ask you anything after this, then you would have reached the point of excuse from my side, and then you are at liberty not to keep me with you in your company anymore. The third incident, they travel to a town, the people of the town refuse to host them, and a wall which is on the verge of collapse, Khadir alayhi salam then fixes that wall up, straightens it. On that, Musa alayhi salam takes objection that what have you did? At least you could have taken a wage and charged a fee for doing a service to these people. They are so inhospitable to us, and yet you do them a favor like this. On that, Khadir alayhi salam tells him, now it is the point of separation between myself and you. Now I will explain the reasons to why I had did whatever I had did, on which you could not make sabr. The first incident of the ship, Khadir alayhi salam explains that it belonged to some poor people, and it was their livelihood. They would transport people, and this is how they would make their living. And further on, further down, there was a king, an oppressive king, who used to seize all types of ships, besides those that looked to be damaged. And that's why I outwardly damaged the ship, to protect the ship from being seized by this oppressive king, so that the livelihood of these poor people can continue. Then the second incident about that young boy, that I killed him. The reason why, it is by Allah Ta'ala it had been decreed, he will be on kufr. He will grow up on kufr. And but because his parents had great love for him, he would exploit that love of his parents to subdue his parents onto rebellion and kufr. In other words, there was fear that they will now go into kufr. For that reason, Khadir alayhi salam says that Allah Ta'ala had decided that he will replace this child with better offspring for those parents of his who will be more greater in piety and affection. And that's why it was ordered that that child must be killed. And the third incident concerning the wall. And beneath the wall there was a treasure which had been now kept by the parents of two children who the father had passed away. They were orphans, and if that wall had fallen, that treasure would have been exposed, and people would have usurped it, and they would have been now deprived of their inheritance. So I straightened it so that till they come of age, at least that treasure will remain protected for those orphan children. Khadir alayhi salam then explains, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي, that whatever I did not do it from my own accord. It was from the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the explanation of that, O Musa, which you could not make sabr upon. So in this incident, the lesson is that there are many things, wisdoms and the reality behind the external, which we are not aware of. Many things occur, what we outwardly feel to be very bad conditions, but what great wisdom is behind that, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. The third incident is that of Dhul-Qarnayn. It was mentioned previously to test the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikeen upon the Jews, telling them how to test Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They asked three questions. One of them was concerning Dhul-Qarnayn. Dhul-Qarnayn was a righteous, pious and just king whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him great kingdom over the east and the west, and who he was, that is not clearly mentioned in the Quran and Majid. People have said that perhaps he was the king who is known as Alexander the Great, but this is completely incorrect because he was a Greek, he was a polytheist, and the person mentioned in the Quran and Majid, he was a person of Iman, and he was a righteous king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him great kingdom, and whatever things Allah ta'ala had put at his disposal, he used it to serve humanity, and also to propagate the message of Haqq. And Allah ta'ala makes mention of his travels to the east, to the west, in his conquest, and a third journey he undertook to people who used to reside between two mountains. They complained to Dhul-Qarnayn of the evil and mischief and the attacks of a nation beyond those mountains. Repeatedly they were now harassing them, and they asked him to build a wall for protection, and Dhulqarnain then built a wall made of iron. And it is mentioned in the Ahadith that near Qiyamah, that wall will then disintegrate, and that nation, who are the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj, which we just read now in the Aqaid Kitab about, they will then wreak havoc in the entire world. So that incident has been mentioned here. Towards the end of the Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people that who will be at the greatest loss on the day of Qiyamah with regards to their actions. They are those people who made an effort in this worldly life, they did actions, but and they regarded their actions to be good, but they will have no acceptance whatsoever, no worth whatsoever in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either because they did not have iman, or either because they did not do that action with sincerity, only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last verse of the surah also makes indication to that fact, that those who have conviction in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, they do good actions and they do not ascribe anyone as partners in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama explain, here shirk-e-khafi has been referred to. And shirk-e-khafi is what we call riya, where actions are done to show others, as if now you are making a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your acts of worship. Allah ta'ala give us sincerity and ikhlas in our actions. The next surah is Surah Maryam, a Makki surah. And the surah after that, Surah Taha, also a Makki surah. The main message in both these surahs is to confirm the aqidah of Tawheed and refutation of many of the false beliefs of the mushrikeen. The incidents of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam are also mentioned in these two surahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah Maryam starts off with the incident of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, when he became very old. He was worried that after me, who is going to carry on this work of deen, propagation of deen? I don't have any children of my own. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expressing his condition of need, and that I have become old, my bones have become weak, my hair has become white, and he mentions that, O Allah Ta'ala, whenever I made dua to you, it was never left unanswered. Therefore, I have hope that, O Allah Ta'ala, you will accept this dua of mine. Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua, and he was blessed with a son by the name of Yahya alayhi salam. Thereafter, the incident of Maryam alayhi salam is mentioned, how miraculously she gave birth without the agency of any male to a son, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The details of this incident, from the time she conceived, when she went into labor, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made arrangements for her nourishment at that time, and thereafter when people started now pointing fingers at her, that how has she brought a child without having been married, or what? So her chastity and honor was being questioned. At that time, miraculously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Isa alayhi salatu wasalam speak when he was just an infant, just a child of a few days old. And he spoke miraculously, in which the honor and chastity of his mother was also made clear. And also that I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not the son of Allah ta'ala, as the Christians believe. The first words he spoke was, Inni Abdullah. I am the Abd. I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned many other things, which indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him a Nabi, and what he has been ordered to do. Further on, the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, where despite being born in an environment completely immersed in idol worship, even his own father was a manufacturer of idols, not only worshipper of idols, and how Ibrahim alayhi salam, with great respect and affection and concern, tried to reason with his father that this what you are doing is not correct. Here there is great lessons that the father, although he was not on iman, but yet the amount of respect Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam showed to him when he addressed him, and despite the father becoming furious and threatening to now throw Ibrahim alayhi salam out of that town, then too Ibrahim alayhi salam maintain his respect So there is great lessons that those who want to propagate the message of Haq, the amount of tolerance, forbearance, the amount of wisdom they have to use, and the amount of compassion and kindness they have to employ when now propagating the message of Haq, all this is indicated in this incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Other Anbiya alayhi salam are also mentioned here, the high status. Allah Ta'ala says that it is these Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, whom from the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu salam, we had favored. Allah Ta'ala says that these Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, they propagated the message of Haq. But those who came after them, their successors, they went onto evil ways. And Allah Ta'ala makes mention, adha'u salat. They destroyed the salat. Which means that salat, what we know as salat, was also to be found in the nations of the past, although not of the same way in the amount of times, but they also had to perform salat. And these, and from the, all the ibadat, this has been particularly mentioned here, that they destroyed that salat, and they followed their passions, with the result that they will meet their destruction in the year after, on the day of Qiyamah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that these people, the polytheists, when our clear verses are recited to them, they tell the mu'mineen, أَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ خَيْرٌ مَقَامًا وَأَحْسَنُ نَدِيًا, that between the two groups, we and us and yourself, who is in a better position and who is more finer when it comes to groups of people, in other words, who has a larger support group. In other words, they are trying to say that socially and financially we are better than you, and we have a larger support base than you. Then how is it that you claim to be on the haq? They regarded good financial standing and position in dunya to be a sign of acceptance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that have they forgotten that the nations of the past, they were much more superior and better in resources and appearances. They were much more powerful. They had much more resources. But Allah Ta'ala, when they transgressed, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala destroyed them. So how is it, then don't think so it is difficult for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to afflict you also with punishment. The last verse of the surah also Allah Ta'ala mentions that how many nations of the past we had destroyed. Allah Ta'ala asks that, do you perceive any of them still around? Or do you even hear a whisper from them? No, there is no sign how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. No sign and traces of them are left. The next surah, Surah Taha. Taha, Allah ta'ala knows best what is the meaning of it. Although many ulama have said that it might be, that perhaps it is the name of, one of the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala is addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saying that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. That we had not revealed this Qur'an Majid to you to put you into difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the recitation of the Qur'an Majid and the propagation of the Qur'an Majid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent great difficulty. He used to stand so long in salat at night reciting the Qur'an Majid that his feet used to swell up. And in the propagation of the message of the Qur'an Majid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also left no stone unturned, for which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go under great difficulty. Allah Ta'ala says, we haven't revealed the Qur'an to you so that you undergo so much difficulty. There's no need to put yourself into so much distress. It is, this Qur'an-i-Majid is a advice for those people who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. That those are the people who will take benefit from the Qur'an-i-Majid. Thereafter, the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned. In great detail in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on for quite a few rukus, where the detailed incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned. Compared to the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala mentions the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his people and his encounters with Fir'aun in much more greater detail and much more repeated form. Compared to the other Anbiya alayhi salam, perhaps ulama mentioned one of the reasons that in every era, there will also be people, tyrants, like Fir'aun was, and how in the propagation of the message of Haq to such people, what type of courage and what type of perseverance people have to now adopt. All these lessons are learned through the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Another point to understand here is the Quran al-Majid is not a kitab just as a collection of historical facts. It is for this reason that the narration of the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are not mentioned all in entirety in one place, nor according to sequence of occurrence. A glaring example is this incident of Musa alayhi salam mentioned here, that the birth and the circumstances at the time of the birth of Musa alayhi salam are mentioned a bit later on. And Musa alayhi salam's incident when he came back to Egypt from Midian, that has been mentioned first. So this itself indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for many reasons, Allah ta'ala doesn't necessarily explain the incident of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam according to sequence of occurrence. Only the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah Yusuf has been mentioned in entirety according to the sequence of occurrence. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his incident at the time of his birth was that a fortune teller had told Fir'aun that a child will be born to the Bani Israel and he will be a source of and means of your whole kingdom being destroyed. And for that reason, Fir'aun had ordered that any child, male child, born amongst the Bani Israel must be immediately put to death. Thousands of children were killed and massacred in this way. When Musa alayhi salam was born, his mother, also now fearing that my child will be killed, for some reason, she put him into a box and put him in and cast him into the river Nile and handing the matter over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala will somehow protect my child. And it happened so that box with Musa alayhi salam in there happened to pass by in the river through by the palace of Fir'aun and they notice it, it is retrieved and the love of Musa alayhi salam immediately comes into the wife of Fir'aun and she becomes greatly attached. Since they had no children of their own, they decide to keep the child as their own, adopt the child. Fir'aun was skeptical that perhaps this might be that very child through which my kingdom will be destroyed. But on the insistence of his wife, he decides now, okay, we will let him stay with us and we will keep him as our adopted son. He grows up in the palace of Fir'aun. The incident concerning the breastfeeding of Musa alayhi salam, in the incident where arrangements were made that all, the mother of Musa alayhi salam was then hired by Fir'aun, not knowing it was the mother of Musa alayhi salam, and she then breastfed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam because he refused to suckle from any other woman. And that incident is also mentioned that eventually as he grew up, he by mistake killed a person from the nation of Fir'aun. When he was disputing with a person from the Bani Israel, Musa alayhi salam came to his assistance and just gave him one punch, but it proved to be fatal. And then the ministers in Fir'aun's cabinet, they decided that Musa alayhi salam should be apprehended, detained and killed because of this. And for that Musa alayhi salam flees Egypt, goes to Midian, he stays there for about 8 to 10 years and marries the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam also. And while they are returning, and that danger had long passed away or passed already, and they are returning, and it is at that time, it was a cold winter's night, they lose their way, there is a need for warmth, and Musa alayhi salam sees what seems to be a fire from a distance. It was actually the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants Musa alayhi salatu wasalam nabuwat. And Musa alayhi salam is told to go to Fir'aun to preach the message of Haqq. Musa alayhi salam asked for assistance, for that his brother also be joined with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his brother Harun alayhi salam also a Nabi. And they go to Fir'aun. They are ordered to preach the message of Haqq to Fir'aun. And Allah ta'ala tells them, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Such a great tyrant and oppressor, who have claimed divinity himself also. But Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam that go to him and speak to him in soft words, in gentle words. From this we also understand that, as mentioned in an ayat yesterday in the 15th para, that we are told not to use harsh and stern type of words, because that only aggravates the situation and there is no benefit in there. So here also we are taught the same lesson. The incident then carries on that Musa alayhi salam then leaves with the Bani Israel one night, and Fir'aun they're going back to their homeland, and Fir'aun and his army try to pursue, and they are drowned. That whole incident is also mentioned here. Towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention again of the incident of Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan's refusal to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, for which he became rejected from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last ruku, Allah ta'ala makes mention of the verse that don't stretch your eyes to the splendor of the things of the dunya which we had given to groups of these kuffar to enjoy. The address is to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the message is to all of us that these things are not a sign of acceptance by Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala here clearly mentions, لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ. These things have been given to these kuffar, the things of the dunya, so that we can test them. That who now appreciates that to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and becomes obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last, further on, Allah ta'ala also explains the importance of salat, that order your household members to perform salat, and you yourself also remain steadfast of it. Allah ta'ala says, we don't ask you for any type of sustenance, we are the providers of your sustenance. So in this performance of this great ibadat, the seeking of sustenance also should not be an obstacle. It mustn't be that salat is discarded with the pretext that we are earning our livelihood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, provides and sustains and gives rosy to everybody. And on that, the last verse, Allah ta'ala again tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that these people who are refusing to accept the message of Haqq, tell all of them that await, we are also awaiting. We will see who eventually gets salvation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is on the straight path and who is rightly guided, and who is on the path of destruction. That each one will see when by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that who was on the haq and who was not.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مررتم برياض الجنة فارتعوا. قالوا وما رياض الجنة؟ قال حلق الذكر. رواه الترمذي. حضرت انس رضی اللہ عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ جب جنت کے باغوں پر گزرو تو خوب چھرو. کسی نے عرض کیا یا رسول اللہ جنت کے باغ کیا ہے؟ ارشاد فرمایا کہ ذکر کے حلقے. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said to the صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم, when you pass by the gardens of Jannah, praise to your heart's content. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the gardens of Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, gatherings of dhikr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to the Sahaba, when you pass by the gardens of Jannah, grace to your heart's content. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, O Rasulullah, what are the gardens of Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, gatherings of dhikr.